The Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. This and other great health talk shows at RadioMD.com. Here are Joe Galewski and Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
And this is Dr. Mike. No Joe this week, but we've got tons of great stories, and Bridget is back.
Hello.
To help with the great stories, so email us anything you want at UDOC. Of course, your questions is what I'm talking about, at udocs@gmail.com, Y-O-U-D-O-C-S @gmail.com, and we'll take your questions anytime. Plus, we've got, what is your favorite story this week?
Well, I wasn't allowed to tell them until we were on the air, so now that we are, my favorite story was about the U.S. standards for school snacks.
So don't go further. Okay. So school snack standards have changed. When will that be in effect?
July 1st, 2014.
So a year from now, we'll find out about it. My favorite, I have two favorites, but both are really important. One is the protection or the prevention or treatment of autoimmune disease with a new virus. We'll talk about how that works. But in the type 1 diabetics, type 1 diabetes is an autoimmune disease. It seems that 20% get almost total relief from this because of this vaccine early. But it's a new type of vaccine, so we'll talk about that. And the other one, of course, is how actually, I've got two others, but one is on prevention of breast cancer with fish. So we know that fish is healthy for your brain and your eyes, and we'll talk about the fish oils. It wasn't just the omega-3. It had to be the higher grade, that is DHA or EPA fish oils, that correlated with prevention of breast cancer. There is a study with walnuts as well in the literature, but this one looked at some 250,000 people in a whole bunch of studies and found, well, I'll tell you what it found. It found in a very important finding we'll talk about in a few seconds. And then, of course, the other one was the craving study.
Oh, I loved this one.
This was, they gave milkshakes with either simple or stripped carbohydrates or long-chain carbohydrates that were difficult to absorb, so you had a low rise in blood sugar versus a high. And the carbs with the high rise in blood sugar, of course, caused you to crave more food and eat more, so that all the whole thing, remember, we gain weight because we eat more than we exercise off. But why do we eat more? Well, this is one of those answers. If you have simple sugars, it changes whatever is going on in your body, so you decide to eat more. So avoid those stripped or simple carbohydrates, added sugars, and added syrups. We also have a great guest at the half hour, best-selling author Michael Gurian. The Wonder of Boys is what he wrote, but this is The Wonder of Aging. Fantastic. The Wonder of Aging, very interesting. Three phases to life after 50 and the miracle and wonder of it. Now, I disagree with some of what he says, but it's just a fantastic book. Interesting. We'll also have a tip of the week. The tip of the week at the first hour is going to be an interesting one. Steady your blood pressure with this picnic treat. Can you guess what the picnic treat is?
I have no idea.
Well, there are two treats that steady your blood pressure that you often would have at a picnic. We'll talk about one of them today in the last few minutes of the hour. Okay, let's get to now the and there's so many good stories this week that
there
I don't
are.
Know where to start with. But let's talk about, did you read about The Sopranos?
No.
What the major threat to The Sopranos was?
No, I didn't.
Oh, Dr. Oz had a beautiful column on that the major threat to The Sopranos was the big belly. You know how James Gandolfini, as in his role on The Sopranos, was always, Tony Soprano, of course, was always trying to protect his family. Did you watch The Sopranos at all?
No.
You didn't watch The Sopranos. Well, hopefully.
Like, how long ago was that on?
It's not that long ago. Oh, God.
All right.
Anyway, The Sopranos and Tony, James Tony Soprano was always trying to protect his family from getting hurt from one of the other families, etc., in the mob. Anyway, even in real life, he was trying to protect his family. He's a husband and father of two, and one of them was just 1 year old. But a heart attack claimed his life at age 51. And he didn't look after himself in the major risk, which was that big belly. He had a big belly, and that adds to his heart disease risk. 50% of people will die after their first heart attack. So just like everybody else, like we men want to protect their family, well, best way they can protect their family, the most important way, is to take care of their health. And that involves some exercise, healthful eating.
Stress management.
And avoiding tobacco. Right. Those are the big four. But in any case, obviously, do you know why that big belly causes you to have heart disease? You do know this.
I know because the stress hormone in the belly.
Well, really what happens is, the first place when you accumulate that omental or visceral fat, it goes inside the kidney capsule, which raises blood pressure. And your blood pressure elevation is the greatest cause of heart disease and stroke, so you should know that. Also, just the visceral fat raises LDL cholesterol because it causes the liver to produce more. It also causes the liver to produce things that cause inflammation in your body. So that's the third, and obviously it's associated with type 2 diabetes and that blood sugar, the high blood sugar that we talked about, not only causes you to eat more, and it's a self-perpetuating cycle, but that high blood pressure is what initiates the fatty streak. That high blood sugar and high blood pressure together initiate the fatty streak in your blood vessels, which is the first part of atherosclerosis. And the second part is, of course, the chronic inflammation behind it, which is caused by that big belly, too. So big belly and guys, women are pretty lucky. Most women accumulate their fat around their hips. They don't like it, but it is. At least it's not as disease-causing as fat hanging off your omentum or the visceral fat, or what we call the stomach fat, fat deep to your stomach.
Yeah, that's a good thing for women.
It is a good thing.
I guess I won't complain about my thighs anymore.
Okay, now tell us, we're going to go to break pretty soon and but what I want to know is tell us about, you want to tease us about the school lunch program? What's happening with it?
Tease you? So how much am I able to tell?
Go ahead and tell it till our engineer cuts us off.
All right, so this past week, the USDA released another rule that was added to the Healthy Hunger Free Kids Act, which was passed by Congress in 2010. And the law is now expanding outside of the cafeteria in order to help fight childhood obesity. And the USDA set nutritional standards for snacks that will be sold in during school time. So any kind of outside school activities like vending machines during sports activities will still be able to sell unhealthy stuff. They don't have control of that. But during school hours, the snacks will be under 200 calories, and they'll also have limits on drinks. And they have to meet the competitive food standards, meaning that the snacks have to have fruits, vegetables, dairy or protein, or they have to contain 10% of the daily value of calcium, potassium, vitamin D, or fiber. And then the drinks that they're allowed to have for the younger schools are water, 100% fruit juice, or low-fat, fat-free milk in 8-ounce servings. And then the high school will be able to purchase 20-ounce calorie-free drinks, which I'm not really sure if that's the best thing, but it's definitely a step in the right direction. And hopefully it will help kids make better eating habits established at a younger age.
So this goes into effect, and it's basically what snacks are allowed to be sold in schools.
Exactly.
Not
during school hours.
But obviously when you go to an athletic game, you're allowed to be killed by your food choices.
Exactly. Load up that hot dog outside of school.
We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You tune up your car and change the oil when it's running sluggish, right? Well, then how come when you're feeling low and sluggish, you aren't doing something about it? D-Herbs can help with their full body cleanse or dozens of other healthy, all-natural supplements and products. It's time to finally do something for you. Take a look at D-Herbs quality all-natural products, and you get a free gift, famous D-Herbs all-natural, all-herbal cleansing tea and an ebook with important life-changing information that you can download. It's called The Power of Cleansing. You can heal from any disease. Just go to freedherbs.com. That's free, the letter D, herbs.com, and claim your free herbal cleansing tea. You just pay a small shipping fee for that, and then you can download your free ebook on the wonders of healing cleansing. You'll also get a 15% off discount code if you should decide to make a purchase. Free gifts for you, plus a special gift of better health. freedherbs.com. freedherbs.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Regina Benjamin, U.S. Surgeon General. As a family doctor, I've seen the terrible impact of a premature birth. Losing a baby is one of the hardest things a family can go through. As Surgeon General, I see the toll that premature births have on our nation. It can cause lifelong disabilities. It is the leading cause of death in newborns. And our country has one of the highest rates of preterm birth in the world. We must do better. Hospitals need to ensure that babies are delivered early, only when medically necessary. We need research to find the causes of premature birth and research to find new ways to prevent it. Couples need to learn the risk of premature birth and what they can do to have a full-term baby, such as getting a preconception checkup. Remember, 40 weeks is a full-term pregnancy, and every week of pregnancy counts. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize your message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Shawn Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours, all of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. It's the time of year when colds and viruses begin making their rounds through schools and families. Sometimes parents will ask for antibiotics, believing they will shorten an illness, allowing their child to return to school or child care quicker. But antibiotics are not usually the answer. Antibiotics are powerful drugs that need to be used cautiously. Antibiotics have no effect on viruses and will not reduce the length of the illness or the symptoms. They are highly effective in treating bacterial infections such as strep throat or bacterial pneumonia. But overuse of antibiotics can make them less effective when truly needed. Some bacteria strains have become resistant to antibiotics as a result of antibiotic overuse. The best way to treat a viral infection is with rest, fluids, and TLC. So feel free to baby your child who has the cold or the flu. Give them lots of love and care, but save the antibiotics for when they are truly needed. And for more information on children's health, visit www.aap.org. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Young Dr. Mike. We're talking with Bridget and myself. Bridget is our resident in-house dietitian for the You, the Owner Manual Radio Show. And we're going to talk at half past with Michael Gurian, the author of The Wonder of Aging, A New Approach to Embracing Life After 50, and as Daniel Amen said, a very important book. This is a really fun book to read, as well as it's got a lot of very interesting information in it. Michael Gurian. Bridget, Yes. Now, you were in North Carolina.
Yes.
And but in what I would call rational part of North Carolina, that is, it's not a fried food capital of North Carolina.
It's not, but they still ate so unhealthy there. I was amazed.
What'd they eat there? What was their favorite? What was the favorite food there that you had to avoid?
Well, I avoided most places that my roommates went to eat because I lived with three boys who I didn't know prior to living with them. And they were in their mid-20s and they loved Bojangles Cookout and this other like fried barbecue place, and they refused to take me there because they knew that I was vegetarian and gluten-free and said that I wouldn't like anything.
Now we should talk a little bit about gluten-free. Gluten-free isn't necessarily low sugar, is it?
Right. No, it's not at all.
So how do you get low sugar? In other words, gluten-free means you don't have certain component of the wheat.
You don't have the...
And barley, et cetera. You don't have the gluten protein.
Right, exactly.
Which means you're stripping the carbohydrate if you're having carbohydrate that's gluten-free and getting carbohydrate that actually could raise your blood sugar.
Yeah, it's a huge challenge, I think, to eat gluten-free and to do it well. I've been gluten-free for 9 years now, so it's taken me a really long time to learn how to do it, and obviously it's helped studying nutrition. That's what prompted me to go into it, but it can be very challenging to eat healthy gluten-free, and I think that people perceive gluten-free food to be so healthy. My roommates in undergrad would do it all the time. They started buying all of the gluten-free foods that I would because they were just like, oh, if you're eating them, then it means that they're healthy, and I had to show them the nutrition labels on some things because in order to compensate for the lack of the wheat that adds a lot of the texture to the food, they add, food manufacturers pump in fat and sugar to make it taste better. So some of my gluten-free products weren't actually healthier than theirs.
So this may not be the healthy, gluten-free does not mean healthy, and I think we want to bring that point out.
Yes, especially now that the food manufacturers have done an amazing job with technology, an amazing job, I'll say, for those that have celiac disease and have to be gluten-free that can't find good tasting options. Like when I went gluten-free 9 years ago, there was nothing. I would cry at dinner every night because everything tasted awful and the food would like disintegrate in my mouth. It's come a really long way. So now food manufacturers are able to make more processed foods gluten-free and taste good. So it's really challenging because it's gluten-free doesn't mean that the processed food that you're buying is any healthier.
So what is your favorite gluten-free product now? Then pick a healthy one, will you?
Well, I really like quinoa. I eat quinoa all the time because it's a complete protein and it's also gluten-free.
And by complete protein, what she means is there are 16 amino acids that are essential. And quinoa just happens to have all 16 mm-hmm. in the quinoa protein armamentarium. That is, when you eat quinoa, you get all 16 essential amino acids.
And quinoa and soy are the only two plant-based foods that have all complete protein. So I really like quinoa, and I really like beans, which are naturally gluten-free. I try and stick with foods that are naturally gluten-free that aren't processed. And I think that helps me ensure that I'm staying away from foods that are really high in sugar and things like that, because a lot of gluten-free foods have either a lot of fat added to them or a lot of sugar in refined carbohydrates.
Okay, now let's go to another of the medical stories of the week. And I teased this a little bit. The intake of fish and marine N3 polyunsaturated fatty acids and risk of breast cancer. So this was a meta-analysis, which means it's reanalyzing all of the studies that have come before. And it's 21 independent prospective studies. Did you know that omega-3s decreased your risk of breast cancer?
No, this is actually
a pretty large decrease. So we know that aspirin does it. We know that the cruciferous vegetables do it. We know that saturated fat increases the risk of breast and prostate cancer both the incidence of it and the virility, that is, how likely it is to metastasize. But I didn't, and there's one study on walnuts that I was aware of showing that walnut eating, 12 walnuts a day, 12 walnut halves a day, 6 walnut halves twice a day, decreased breast cancer rates by about 30%, which is, and wow. Walnuts are the only nut with appreciable amount of omega-3 in them. But this was a new thing to me, that this is the eating fish, and it correlated with both fish eating and the levels of DHA and EPA in tissue. So it's the actual higher grade fish omega-3s. So you want, if you're going to take it as a supplement, and it could be taken as supplements in this omega-3, that those higher grade decrease the risk of breast cancer by 5% for every tenth of a gram extra, if you will, and I'll explain what I mean, tenth of a gram extra of fish oils you ate per day. So in other words, it's a, what that means is that if you get 900 milligrams of DHA a day, which is the right amount for protecting your eyes and your brain, that also would decrease your risk of breast cancer by about 40%. That probably also means it would decrease your risk of prostate cancer, because what holds for the breast is usually found for the prostate and vice versa. So the dose response analysis, the risk of breast cancer is decreased by 5% for every 100 milligrams or tenth of a gram you have.
Pretty awesome.
Do you have fish that often?
On
your diet, or do you take fish oil supplements,
well,
or
I started taking
DHA?
I started taking fish oil after I started working for you.
Good. Okay. Now, you got to tell me another one of your favorite stories. There actually, I should tell our listeners, there are a ton of favorite stories this week, as well as a set of really great questions you sent, and I'm going to get to some of the questions in a second, but I wanted to at least get some of these stories, since they're so good, to talk to you about some of the stories.
Well, another of my favorite stories, and I'm sorry, most of my stories that end up being my favorite usually have to do with diet and nutrition, and I try not to make it like that, but I'm obviously slightly biased. So I really liked the study that came out this past week that analyzed the effect of parents talking to adolescents about their weight, and more specifically, parents of overweight adolescents, and the way that talking about weight loss a lot of times prompted kids to try and lose weight in unhealthy ways by dieting or becoming anorexic or bulimic. And it's interesting because they found that parents who did certain things were more successful at encouraging their kids to live a healthier life.
Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about what happens when grandparents do that, if you will, with Michael Gurian, The Wonder of Aging, A New Approach to Embracing Life After 50. We're on You, the Owner's Manual radio show. That's what you're listening to. Please stay with us. We'll be right back on Radio MD. Remember, you can always email us or call us your questions, 877-711-5211. We'll be right back. Radio MD, stay well.
My story may help you. This is what happened. I was talking to my best friend. I told her I wasn't feeling like myself. I had pain in my pelvic area and bleeding that wasn't normal for me. Since it had gone on for a couple of weeks, my friend said I had to go to the doctor. Of course, she was right. Turned out I had uterine cancer, a type of gynecologic cancer. To make a long story short, by realizing something might be wrong and seeing my doctor right away, I received treatment. Now, we're confident I'll be fine. Please, please listen to your body. If something doesn't feel right for 2 weeks or longer, see your doctor.
Uterine, cervical, ovarian, vaginal, and vulvar cancers are all gynecologic cancers. Signs and symptoms are not the same for everybody, so get the facts. Get the inside knowledge. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO to learn more.
Knowing can make all the difference in the world. It did for me.
A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance. And that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to greatstartgtl.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at greatstartgtl.com. That's greatstartgtl.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to greatstartgtl.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
Hi, I'm Dr. Regina Benjamin, U.S. Surgeon General. As a family doctor, I've seen the terrible impact of a premature birth. Losing a baby is one of the hardest things a family can go through. As Surgeon General, I see the toll that premature births have on our nation. It can cause lifelong disabilities. It is the leading cause of death in newborns. And our country has one of the highest rates of preterm birth in the world. We must do better. Hospitals need to ensure that babies are delivered early, only when medically necessary. We need research to find the causes of premature birth and research to find new ways to prevent it. Couples need to learn the risk of premature birth and what they can do to have a full-term baby, such as getting a preconception checkup. Remember, 40 weeks is a full-term pregnancy, and every week of pregnancy counts. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission, to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And we're privileged to talk to Michael Gurian, the author of The Wonder of Aging, started with The Wonder of Boys and a whole bunch of other great bestsellers. And if you listen to us, you'll know that Joe Galuski is not here. He's taken the day off. I think he's on a golf course. But in any case, Bridget is with me. So Michael Gurian is the author of this fabulous book, The Wonder of Aging. And we've gotten a couple of questions already, but he talks about grandparents' brain in here as one of the phases. So first, Michael, thanks for coming on. And what are the stages over the age of 50 that bring in the wonder?
Okay. Yeah, and thank you for having me on, really. The three stages developed out of the, I think initially when I was a teenager, my mom and Elizabeth Kubler-Ross were friends, so she was at our house quite a bit. So there must have been some sort of brain memory of that. But the study of it really came from seeing a gap in Eric Erickson stages and, you know, seeing that that we really didn't have good staging for sort of 50 onward.
Why do you think that was? Let me interrupt you. Why do you think
I think because this living, you know, from between 50 and 100, which is what many, many, many of us will do, this is really quite recent. It was 120 years ago that our average age was 49. So here we are now at, you know, between 75 and 80.
Our average age of death was 49.
Yeah, yeah. Average life expectancy, 49 at the turn of that century. So it's kind of a miracle that we're all living and that many of us will live toward into 80, 90, maybe some to 100. So I just don't think we focused on it. And there were stages of adulthood, stages of middle age, but I really felt I needed to go deeper into aging, especially positive aging. So I looked at brain biology and at the science and then matched it with cross-cultural research. And what I believe we're seeing is three stages, at least, the three I've been able to delineate are from 50 to 65, and these are loose numbers, 50 to 65. That's transformation. And everyone that I studied, everyone in all our Gurin Institute studies, we found that they are, I'm 55, making a transformation, one or more in that time, from adult to elder. So we're transforming from adult to elder. Now, some of us concentrate on it, and by the time we're 65, we really know we're elders. Others are still really hanging on to being adult or younger, and so that's its own question. But that's that age of transformation.
Yeah,
and
I figured since you do mention real age in the book, I felt I can bring it up. I felt like I'm delayed about 16 or 17 years in this. I'm just entering, although I'm 67, I feel like I'm 50 in your book.
You're transforming right now.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and you know, as I said just before, I mean, I want to say to listeners that I don't think I could have written this without your work in real age, because that opens up the ability to study this time frame from this positive approach. So I want to thank you for that.
Thank you. That you're too kind.
No, absolutely. And so then 65-ish, people are saying, well, I want to retire. Now, not all of us can or want to, but there's something inchoate and deep in us, and I think it has to do with the fact that our cells are, you know, debilitating. We're getting older. Menopause and andropause are pretty much finished by 65, and so then they transform us. So 65 to 80, I'm looking at as the stage of distinction, and the grandparenting. A lot of people feel that they have their identity through grandparenting. A lot of them, a lot of us will still be working, but we're slowing that down somewhat. Some people take on second careers. Some people start to paint or to write. And what people say is, I felt free, or I feel free to be who I am. And that I'm naming distinction. We are distinct selves. If we were not before, we are now. And then the third stage is completion. And as we and our spouse significantly debilitate, we move toward completion. And I see that as very positive, obviously, from the word completion. And that might take us to a discussion of dying and death.
Well, it's interesting. I have a question from one of our listeners that came in on the email line. And I'm going to paraphrase it. It comes in from a guy named George, who is in St. Louis. So George writes, I don't have grandkids, and when I hit retirement age, he said, when I retired at age 70, I felt a lack of purpose. I'm
right.
Still trying to get grandkids, but I have a lack of purpose. And he said, in fact, I got very depressed, so depressed I started drinking. He said, tell me more about grandparent brain, and is there a way I can get grandparent brain if that's a good thing and gives you a purpose in life for raising grandkids? If that's part of it, I haven't read the book, he stated. He said, if that's part of it, and how I can get that without grandkids.
Right. Well, and it's a great question. See, that's the key. The key to this book is positive aging. So each of these steps, I'm trying to help people see these in the positive and then have concentrations. Each chapter is a different concentration. Now, the grandparenting brain, if you don't have grandparents, the way that happens is through mentoring. And so one really has to volunteer. One has to, in a faith community, if one's in a faith community, or through boys clubs, girls clubs, all of them.
Let's get specific for them. Is there an age which you want to, in other words, do you want to volunteer in a, if you will, a daycare, or do you volunteer take care of foster kids, or where do you volunteer to get this for him?
Well, the the quickest and easiest place, if someone's in a faith community, is to go there, right? Because they're always trying to connect older people with younger people, any religion, any faith community. If a person's not in a faith community or there isn't something there, boys' clubs and girls' clubs, Big Brothers, Big Sisters, Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, and then if there are programs that connect nursing homes or retirement communities with daycares, as you said. So anything, anywhere where you're allowed to volunteer. I have a story in the book of someone who went through this who became very depressed when she retired because, it's again, it's distinction, it's identity. She lost her identity. She also did not have grandkids. Well, she volunteered and was one of the oldest people to join the Peace Corps. So that's where the connection there is feeding the minds of younger people, and then younger people feed our minds. So as we mentor younger people, they mentor us, and that's the grandparent brain. And so you don't have to have your own grandkids is the key.
And tell us what, or tell our listeners what the grandparent brain consists of. Is what changes occur with it?
Well, for example, like men will say. Will say, wow, I'm really different as a grandparent than I was as a parent. And so men, when they say it, they'll say it in terms of, I'm a little less harsh now, I'm more encouraging, there's less competition. And that's some of the stuff that's actually happening inside our brains. And I think it's really happening because our hormones change. And so that affects our brains. Women will say, oh, I'm more, you know, I don't take as much stuff from kids. I'd love to baby them, but if I think they're doing something that makes no sense, you know, I'll say it. And again, I think there's an effect from the hormones discharging and our hormones moving through us and then completing that our brains are affected. At a spiritual or more emotional level, I think it happens because we get to a point of identity and really a sense of freedom to be who we are. And so when we're caring for these young people that we spoil somewhat, we just bring this full, beautiful identity to them. And I think at a spiritual level, that's what the grandparent brain is.
When we come back, we're going to ask questions. We've gotten some questions about what dying free is. Someone has bought the book, listening, knew that we were going to have it since we tweeted it earlier in the week. The book is The Wonder of Aging, A New Approach to Embracing Life After 50. And it really is a brilliantly written book, has a lot of great features in it, by Michael Gurian, G-U-R-I-A-N, as well as we'll get to the tip of the week, the Real Age tip of the week, right at the end if we get time. We'll be right back on Radio MD. You can email us at udocs@gmail.com. Radio MD, stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guaranty Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission, to
help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.
Are you always looking for places to stop and rest because you're short of breath, wheezing, or coughing? Who wants to live like that? See your doctor for a simple breathing test to find out if it's COPD, a serious lung disease. With treatment, soon you could be living more and stopping less. Visit copd.nhlbi.nih.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Did you know only about 3% of the CEOs of Fortune 500 companies are women?
And of the 18,000 police chiefs in America, less than 2% are women.
So it's no wonder that only 1 in 5 girls believes she has what it takes to lead.
But did you know?
We can change that.
The time you spend with a girl now,
the words you say to her today,
can give her the courage, confidence, and character to become a leader tomorrow.
So speak up.
Get involved.
Nurture her potential.
Share your experience.
Invest your resources.
Did you know?
Together, we can get her there.
Get started today. Visit togetherthere.org.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. The U.S. is experiencing an increase in the number of cases of whooping cough. This is a serious illness caused by pertussis bacteria. It often starts with what seems like a common cold. Then, especially for toddlers, the cough worsens and leads to the characteristic whoop sound on inhaling. During this phase of the illness, which usually lasts more than 2 weeks, the child can get short of breath and the skin around the mouth may turn blue. Older children may cough so hard they vomit. The illness can be particularly deadly for infants who can develop complications such as pneumonia and seizures. Whooping cough is highly contagious and can spread to children who have not been vaccinated. The best way to prevent this dangerous illness is to be sure your child received all doses of the pertussis vaccine. This is usually given as the DTaP vaccine. And for more information on preventing whooping cough, visit www.cisp.org. With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And the show is back to talking about the wonder of aging. It's a book from Atria, the author, best-selling New York Times best-selling author of The Wonder of Boys is Michael Gurian. And this is really a fascinating book, divides aging over the age of 50, which is interesting to me that it is 50, into three stages. The age of distinction and completion are what we're talking about now. Actually, one of our frequent listeners and frequent email questioners, Muriel, wrote about the freedom of dying, and she wanted to know what you really meant by that, Michael.
Yeah, the last two chapters, the chapter 7 deals with taking your second chances, making sure to get your second and third breath and your second and third wind and your second and third chance, and making sure to do that, you know, in the 60s and 70s. And the last chapter is on completion, and that's going to involve one's spouse dying and oneself dying, depending on the order in which that happens. So there's a story in that last chapter of a doctor who watched his grandmother gradually over a 10-year period die of Alzheimer's, and he made a decision. He said, "You know, I've written an email to my family. We've got it stored up that if I get Alzheimer's, you know, a few years, and then once it gets to where I can't remember anyone and I'm just sitting there, I want to end things. I want to be done." And he and I had a lot of dialogues, his position about what I call a free death or a service death. And part of the idea that he talked about also was, okay, I'll have some resources to leave behind. All those resources could get sucked up into my dying. I would rather be of service and continue to be of use as a human being to those, you know, to my kids, grandkids, and community by leaving a legacy, by leaving these resources, by not taking up all these resources to live a few more months. I mean, this is, you know, a stark dialogue about this. And so I call it a free death or a service death, where we're still allowed to be of service even as we're dying. And that means we need to be able to say, this is what I want, and I'm doing it to be of service, and I need to be free to do that. And I believe that gradually we're moving toward this because so many of us are getting older, so we will take control of this. But right now, you know, that's a hard position. It's because I live in the state of Washington. We do have a death with dignity law, but very few people use it, and it's quite complex. And I would really like to see more of us involved in that and in that movement so that in 10 to 20 years, we will have the freedom to die as we've had the freedom to live.
Now, talk to me about the lifetime of second chances as well. So you get pretty heavy when you talk about the freedom to die. Even Bridget, who smiles a lot, got very serious about that. So obviously that comes from some of your mother's frequent visitor, if you will.
But Elizabeth Kubler-Ross.
Right.
Yes.
But now let's talk about a lifetime of second chances. What do you mean by that?
Well, yeah, a couple of stories are in there. One is of Eva Lastman, who she died at 92. She was a Holocaust survivor, and it wasn't until she was a grandparent and her grandkids were grown, so she was in her 70s, that she developed this lifetime of second chances. In other words, she had a whole second wind. She had never talked to people about the Holocaust and about her experiences. She had survived the Warsaw Ghetto, then been to Birkenau and Treblinka, and she was the only person in her family who survived. She came to live in Spokane, Washington, which is where I live. I got to know her here. And people will find it beautiful to hear her story and how she did it. Not until her 70s did she start going into elementary schools and middle schools and high schools and talking about it. Her soul opened up about it, but for her first, you know, the 50 years after her survival, she just couldn't talk about it. Well, that's an example of someone who, in their later years, is really focused on purpose and legacy and taking this second chance after the kids are grown, even the grandkids were grown, to do something of service and of use. And, of course, it fed her life. I mean, it really, until just the last number of months of her life when she got quite sick, she was still out there trying to talk to people about that experience. So that's just one example of second chances. And I talked about the Peace Corps volunteer. If this is part of positive aging, and by the way, the chapter on death is actually very positive.
So I am going to tell people they ought to read The Wonder of Aging. If you're any place near 50, 45 and over, get The Wonder of Aging, A New Approach to Embracing Life After 50. Michael Gurian, G-U-R-I-A-N, the website, michaelgurian.com. It's a book available anyplace. Thanks very much, Michael. And now we'll go to our Real Age Tip of the Week. And the Real Age Tip this week, steady your blood pressure with this picnic treat. It's picnic time. So drop your blood pressure down a few notches by enjoying this pink, juicy picnic treat more often. It's simple watermelon. Turns out watermelon, whether it's because it's loaded with the amino acid L-citrulline or not, has been shown in repeated studies to lower blood pressure and improve circulation. Decreases blood pressure by about 7/5. That's pretty big, actually. So savor some slices. 7/5 may sound like a small drop, but it's enough of a drop to prevent prehypertension from progressing to full-blown hypertension. And a drop in aortic systolic blood pressure is thought to be especially important in mitigating cardiovascular disease risk. In these studies, not only do people's systolic blood pressure drop when they took a watermelon extract of L-citrulline and L-arginine, but also their blood arterial function, that is the flow in their blood vessels, was much improved over the placebo group. That is, the watermelon extract contained approximately 2.7 grams of L-citrulline, the same amount you'd get from about 7 cups of watermelon. That's a lot of watermelon, but other studies have shown blood pressure benefit with smaller amounts, so don't feel you have to eat the whole melon. That's right. The benefit, reducing your blood pressure by losing excess weight or by any means you choose, can make your real age up to 25 years younger. That's right. Just reducing your blood pressure from 135 130 over 85 to what would be in this study 128 over 81 makes you about 4.5 years younger. And that's the real age tip of the week. What do you think, Bridget? Do you have watermelon?
That was a good one. I actually had watermelon this afternoon.
So there is such a thing as watermelon slush, obviously. There's obviously watermelon gazpacho. That is using watermelon to make gazpacho. You can go to the ShareCare.com website to find the recipe for watermelon gazpacho. In the next hour. Well, I'm not allowed to tell you about the next hour. I forgot about that. But in any case, we've had a great guest, The Wonder of Aging with Michael Gurian. We'll be right back next week for this hour. And if you're on one of those stations that keeps having us, you can listen to us the next hour as well on Radio MD. Stay well.
You tune up your car and change the oil when it's running sluggish, right? Well, then how come when you're feeling low and sluggish, you aren't doing something about it? D-Herbs can help with their full body cleanse or dozens of other healthy, all-natural supplements and products. It's time to finally do something for you. Take a look at D-Herbs quality all-natural products, and you get a free gift, famous D-Herbs all-natural, all-herbal cleansing tea and an ebook with important life-changing information that you can download. It's called The Power of Cleansing. You can heal from any disease. Just go to freedherbs.com. That's free, the letter D, herbs.com, and claim your free herbal cleansing tea. You just pay a small shipping fee for that, and then you can download your free ebook on the wonders of healing cleansing. You'll also get a 15% off discount code if you should decide to make a purchase. Free gifts for you, plus a special gift of better health. freedherbs.com. freedherbs.com.
Hi there, I'm Juliana Rancic.
And I'm Bill Rancic.
I love my job as an entertainment reporter, but what I love even more now is being a new mom.
And you are a great mom. I'm very proud of you, honey.
Thanks.
Like any responsible parent, Juliana and I wanted the best for our little son, Duke, and that includes a healthy future. We know firsthand that life is pretty unpredictable. We didn't anticipate getting Juliana's cancer diagnosis or even having challenges with pregnancy. I don't think anyone does. Mm-hmm. But as parents, we can plan for the unexpected.
That's why we want to share our decision to bank Duke's cord blood when he was born. The blood in a newborn's umbilical cord contains millions of young, valuable stem cells that are used to treat childhood conditions like cancers and blood diseases and are being studied as potential therapies for cerebral palsy and even autism.
Julianne and I are proud to partner with Cord Blood Registry and the Healthy Futures Campaign to help raise awareness about the value of cord blood and the options for saving or donating it.
We encourage you to take action for your family's healthy future. Go to ParentsGuideCordBlood.org to learn more.